Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Creation. Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Text 38. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Atha Jagama Bhagavan Naradaha Saha Tumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujo Bhyarchayam Munim Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujo Bhyarchayam Munim Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujo Bhyarchayam Munim. Please chant. Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujo Bhyarchayam Munim Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujo Bhyarchayam Munim Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujo Bhyarchayan Munim Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu
Pratyutaya Bivadyaha
Pratyutaya Bivadyaha
Sanujo Bhyarchayan Munim
Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujo Bhyarchayan Munim Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujyo Bhyarchayan Munim. Ladies, Atajagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatumburu Pratyutaya Bivadyaha Sanujyo Bhyarchayam Munim
Atajagama Bhagavan
Anyone else? Atta. Thereafter. Ajagama. Arrived. Bhagavan. The godly personality. Naradaha. Narada. Sahatumburu. Along with his tumburu musical instrument. Pratyutaya. Having gotten up from their seats. Abhivadya. Offering their due obeisances. Aha. Said. Sa Anuja. Along with younger brothers. Abhyarchayan. Thus, while receiving in a proper mood. Munim. The sage. While Sanjaya was thus speaking, Sri Narada, the powerful devotee of the Lord, appeared on the scene carrying his tumburu. Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers received him properly by getting up from their seats and offering obeisances. Purport by the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Narada, Devarshi Narada, is described herein as Bhagavan, due to his being the most confidential devotee of the Lord. The Lord and his very confidential devotees are treated on the same level by those who are actually engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Such confidential devotees of the Lord are very much dear to the Lord because they travel everywhere to preach the glories of the Lord in different capacities and try their utmost to convert the non-devotees of the Lord into devotees in order to bring them to the platform of sanity. Actually, a living being cannot be a non-devotee of the Lord because of his constitutional position. But when one becomes a non-devotee or non-believer, it is to be understood that the person concerned is not in a sound condition of life. The confidential devotees of the Lord treat such illusioned living beings, and therefore they are most pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who actually preaches the glories of the Lord to convert the non-believers and non-devotees. Such personalities as Narada must be offered all due respects like those offered to the personality of Godhead himself. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, along with his noble brothers, were examples for others in receiving a pure devotee of the Lord like Narada, who had no other business save and except singing the glories of the Lord along with his veena, a musical stringed instrument. Trinadapi suniche na tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama 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 eva kivalam kalo nasyeva 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 gatir anyata. So, in today's verse and purport, there are references that I have found in the Gita and Bhagavatam which speak on these same points. I'd just like to read these few references. So, of course, in the purport, Prabhupada referred to that big verse, chapter 18, verse 69. Nacha tasman manushyeshu kashchin me priya kritamaha babita nacha me tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. So Krishna says, there's no one more dear to him than one who preaches this message of Krishna consciousness. And he says, beyond that, there'll never be anyone more dear. Now, in the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his classmates. They wanted to know also how all the things about Krishna consciousness he was instructing them. How did he learn all this? Because as far as they know, he's one of them. He's only a five-year-old boy. How could he have possibly learned all this Krishna consciousness? So Prahlad explained how in the womb of his mother, Narada used to preach to him. So when he came out of the womb, he was already self-realized. So in one of the verses, Prahlad is instructing his classmates, Tasmat sarveshu bhuteshu dayang kuruta sauridam bhavam asuram unmuchya yaya tushyati adhoksaja. Therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. And then, in Canto 7, Narada is instructing Yudhisthira. He says this, Nanvasya Brahmana Rajan Krishnasya Jagad Atmanaha Punatak Pada Rajasa Trilokin Devatang Mahat. My dear King Yudhisthira, the Brahmanas, especially those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord throughout the entire world, are recognized and worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the heart and soul of all creation. The Brahmanas, by their preaching, sanctify the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet, and thus they are worshipable even for Krishna. Now, in the 10th canto, Garga Muni is sent by Vasudev to go visit Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda takes this occasion and asks Garga Muni to perform the name-giving ceremonies for Krishna and Balaram. And of course, Garga Muni advises him, and so it is decided that the ceremony will not be done very pompously, very ceremoniously. In fact, it will be done very secretly, privately, in the cowshed, so as to not alert Kamsa. So one of the things Nanda says to Garga Muni when he arrives, O my Lord, O great devotee, persons like you, who move from place to place, do not do so for their own interests. They do so for the sake of the poor-hearted grihastas or householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. And my final reference, every morning, our first prayer, Guvashtakam, prayer number 7, is so important and must be understood. Sakshad harit vena samasta shastraya uktastata bhavyata eva sadbi kintu prabhoya kriya eva tasya. Vande guru sri charanada vindam. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari, or Krishna. So here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the composer, the reason why we honor the spiritual master as much as we do the Supreme Lord, and we don't make the mistake of addressing or thinking the guru is God, because that would be the greatest sin. The guru is not God. Here is God. But we are taught to honor the guru as much as we honor God. Why? Because he is the most confidential servant. So, years ago, when I had my office here, and I would interview the candidates for first initiation, and they had to answer 13 questions. And then they would answer them written out, and then I would interview them to make sure that I know that they know that I know that they know what they're doing. So this question was one of the questions. And so I would ask them, so what is it that the spiritual master is doing that makes him the most confidential servant? What is he doing? That's the question. Today's verses and the references and the purports have answered. He is the most confidential servant because he is preaching the message of Krishna. The first reference, Prabhupada mentioned it in the purport. Krishna himself says, there's no servant more dear to me than the preacher. So this Krishna consciousness movement that we have subscribed to in different levels, Prabhupada wants us to preach this message of Krishna consciousness. It's not just for our own edification. No. We are meant to give it. Prabhupada made some interesting comments in the purport. I'd like to go over them, the significant ones. So the first one, the verse itself, is saying that Narada is being addressed as Bhagavan. That's very high title to address someone as Bhagavan. It doesn't go any higher than that. But it's explained. Again, he's Bhagavan in the sense that he is most confidential servant. Same idea. Not that he's God. Narada will never accept being addressed that the person thinks he's addressing me as God himself. No. Representative of God. Servant of God. Ah, that is good. Okay. And then he says, Prabhupada says in the purport, the confidential devotees of the Lord travel everywhere just to preach the glories of the Lord in different capacities. So we all have our personality, we all have our abilities, our talents. They're not all the same. We're each individuals. So in the same way, we are allowed to preach according to our capacity, according to our proclivity. If you think that all book distributors are the same, no. There are so many different styles of book distribution. I know one particular Sankirtan devotee, his whole style is comedy. He gets the person to laugh right off the bat. And that breaks down the wall. He has a very... He'll grab someone's hand, shake his hand, and go... And so the person becomes startled. And then he has this devotee. He has given books to great movie stars and politicians. Some he's given on repeated occasions. I forget his name. He's in... Yes, Dramilla. Yes. One time he told me all the people he gave books to. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and such amazing client list he had of persons who got Prabhupada's books. But he's just an example. You can't imitate him. We all have our different ways of trying to preach, but the message has to be the same. The message has to be Krishna consciousness. Then he says here, try their utmost to convert the non-devotees into devotees in order to bring them to the platform of sanity. This is a bold statement. Prabhupada is saying that if you do not see yourself as devotee, servant of God, you're insane. So our job is to, yes, give them some access to Krishna consciousness. Actually, here Prabhupada goes philosophical. Actually, a living being cannot be a non-devotee because of his constitutional position. So this we learn from Bhagavad Gita. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna claims us. Krishna claims us. You are my ansha. You are my part and parcel. It's like anyone who has a child or children, you should be able to understand this concept. That child born to you, right, came from you, father and mother. There is a natural connection between the parents and the child. So in the same way, Krishna is saying, we come from him, ansha, part and parcel. We emanate from him. So it is only natural. The part always serves the whole. The hand serves the needs of the body. The hand does not try to enjoy separately. The example Prabhupada gave several times. We put the food in the mouth, then the hand benefits. The hand cannot enjoy the food independently or separately. No, the hand has to serve the mouth. When the food goes in the mouth, then the hand benefits. So in Krishna consciousness, the devotee understands rightfully, philosophically, I'm not independent. I'm dependent. I need assistance. I need maintenance. Krishna is doing that. Krishna is maintaining all living entities. This we learn from the Upanishad. Nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam eko yo vibhati buddha. That was one of the first classes I ever heard Prabhupada speak on. He quoted this verse. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. I'll try to remember exactly how Prabhupada spoke it when I first heard it in 1973. I'm envisioning Prabhupada on the Vyasasan, and I'm as close as I can be, and I'm really trying to understand Prabhupada. I'm new Bhakta Nick, and I'm trying to really, I'm really paying attention to Prabhupada, like all of you are right now, I'm sure. But I was really trying to pay attention. Nityo, nityanam. So Prabhupada said, there's one singular eternal and many plural eternals. Chaitanas Chaitananam. There's one singular conscious entity, and there are many, many unlimited individual conscious entities. So that's how he explained line one. Eko yo bahunam vididhati kaman. But the one singular is maintaining all the others. That's God. That's one way of defining God. That entity who was sustaining everyone else. So, Krishna says, you are my part and parcel eternally. And just as the hand is to serve the mouth, all living entities are meant to serve Krishna. Just as by pouring water on the root of the tree, then the tree is benefited. So our whole bhakti premise is, you simply repose everything, your love, your consciousness, you repose everything on Krishna, you will automatically feel reciprocation. That's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Ye yata mang prapadyante tang stataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reciprocate. That is the whole bhakti premise. So we're being told, we're being informed, we're being instructed. Give, give, give more and more and more to Krishna. Every day we are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But I can't think otherwise. I have to think. Yes, I have to chant with more attention, with more energy. Each successive Hare Krishna has to be with full enthusiasm, heart. Not mechanical. It has to come from the heart. So everyone is devotee of God. Everyone. They may not accept it, but philosophically we understand everyone is devotee of Krishna. This is how to see real brotherhood, sisterhood. There has to be a common father. A universal father. Just like tomorrow and Monday. Certain section of people will worship Lord Shiva. Some of them worship Shiva as Almighty Father, because that is their understanding. From one angle of vision, it is correct. From one angle of vision, that Lord Shiva is the Father of all living entities, from a particular angle of vision. Disclaimer. Otherwise, I'm contradicting what I said 10 minutes ago, where Krishna says, all living entities are my angshas, including Lord Shiva. So, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone has the right to perform this Krishna consciousness. And as preachers, that is our job. How can I engage this person? How can I get this person out of insanity, back to the sane platform? And the only way they're going to do that is they have to engage in something Krishna conscious. They must hear about Krishna. I must chant Krishna. I must give them something of Krishna. We give them Prabhupada's books. We give them Krishna Prasadam. The first devotee I ever met Daivi Shakti Devi Dasi. First she gave me a book. Then after about a half an hour when I came out of her own lunch, she gave me some maha rice. I don't know why she did that. That was definitely Krishna. As I came out of the college room, she saw me and said, "Come here." She opened her pouch and she gave me some rice prasad. I was hooked. That's how powerful is Krishna consciousness. To this day, I remember. Now, Prabhupada's purport continues. The confidential devotees of the Lord treat such illusion living beings, and therefore they are most pleasing. So if we go out and preach, Krishna will be pleased upon you. Who doesn't want God to be pleased with them? Who in, well, of course, somebody who's insane. But anyone in their right frame of mind would, yes, I want God's blessing. Here's how to do it. Here's how to do it. Go and preach. Tells, and that was Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Kurma Brahman. Whoever you see, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And in Krishna book, Prabhupada writes in the introduction, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, their business is to propagate Krishna Katha. That is our business. I've said many times in Hindu temples, I am Krishna's salesman. Yes, you can chant whatever name of God you have, that's all right. But if you ask me, I'm a Krishna salesman. I'm going to recommend Krishna. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please.
Hey, Krishna, 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 hey, 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 Ram, Ram, hey, hey.
Good. Let's have some discussion. Question? Yes, Archit Das.
Thank you, Narantara Prabhu. I purposely left the microphone a little loud so you could wake us all up today. Hare Krishna. The power of prasadam, you mentioned that at the end about your exchange with Daiva Shakti, who is still going strong, by the way, in Vrindavan. But I want you to tell the story, I'm pretty sure it happened to you, in the New York subway with that cop and the lug loop.
The cop?
Yeah, aren't you the one that the cop tapped on the shoulder and you thought, oh no, I'm going to get arrested, and then he asked you for a lug loop?
No, that's not me.
Wasn't that you?
No.
All right, Krishna. Well, I'll tell the story. There was one devotee.
Good.
I thought it was Narantara all these years, but we used to distribute prophets mostly back to God in the New York subways. And one devotee, I mean, it was illegal. We didn't have the right to do it, but we were doing it anyway. So sometimes we would get arrested. And one, I got arrested on the street, not in the subway. But this one devotee was standing on a New York subway platform and felt a tap on his shoulder. And he turned around. It was this huge New York cop looking down at him. And he thought, oh no, I'm going to jail again. And the cop looked at him very seriously and said, give me one of your sweets. So that's the power of Krishna Prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj.
Thank you for a very wonderful, insightful class. I hope we have more from you of these types of classes, which were so scripturally filled and supported. This makes it very authoritative. My question is this. You mentioned at the latter part of the class that whether a person is a devotee, by a devotee I mean one who practices Krishna conscious activities, and a person who is a non-devotee, who doesn't practice Krishna conscious activities, just an ordinary person, a person who may be referred to as a karmi, that he also is a devotee, and you gave some explanation. But what is the difference between a person who is inherently a devotee but not practicing devotional service, and a person who is both inherently and practicing devotional service. Obviously, there is a difference, and I would appreciate, for the benefit of everyone, you would explain that difference.
The one who is not practicing Krishna consciousness is going to experience repeated material birth and death throughout 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies, depending on how one acts and according to one's desires. And there is no hope of deliverance. So one who is practicing Krishna consciousness is getting out of that endless cycle of repeated birth and death and is going to their original home, the abode of Krishna, to relate to him in five loving relationships, apparently distinct, but there's five of them. And you get eternal life with God, Krishna. So the difference is tremendous. One, material existence is a prison life. Real freedom is in the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. That was a good setup. I mean, wow. You can't get a better question than that. More discussion. Yes. It's raining, so.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, like the ways to, suppose if somebody is a non-devotee, then can you tell me the ways to get him to devote?
No problem. To be a devotee is easy. It's natural. Actually, you've already started. You're sitting here. You're hearing this message. This is the beginning. So, you look like you're probably an educated man. You know about the internet. You've heard of such a thing. So, on the internet, there is a channel called... What's our YouTube channel called? No, the YouTube channel. ISKCON LA. So we have a YouTube channel, and all these wonderful classes, like I just gave, is on that YouTube channel. So anytime you can turn on that YouTube channel and become absorbed. It's all about becoming absorbed in hearing. Now, you look healthy, you have good ears, right? You have a mouth. You should get, say hello to my little friend. You should get one of these. And every day on these beautiful beads, you should chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now, on these beads, there's 108. So you do Hare Krishna 108 times. That's called one round. You start off with one round every day without fail. And within a year, you'll be up to 16 and you'll be so ecstatic. But you got to do one a day to start off. If I told you to do 16, I don't think you'd do it. Start off with one and build up your stamina. Listen now, you live here in Los Angeles? Oh, nearby. Oh, Dan, you should be here every day. You married? Oh, good. No entanglements. Girlfriends? Oh, okay. So come here every day. Do you like our food? It's good, huh? Why do you think I joined? Come here every day, chant with us, take prasadam, and I order you to be happy. Then you're in. Do you have? But do you have these? Then I don't see it. All right. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Maharaj.
If there's no one else, what? If there's no one else who wants to mention, I would just like to add something to your answer to my own question, if I respectfully may.
Yes.
Okay. The difference between a person who knows he is a devotee and is a practicing devotee and a person who is a non-practicing devotee and also is a devotee of a sort, inherently part and parcel of the Lord, the difference is very, very distinct. The person who is practicing, he knows who he is. He knows that he's a spirit soul. He knows that he may or may not at that time be under the force of the material energy. He knows that the practices that he's performing will help him to overcome the effect of the material energy. Whereas the person who is inherently a devotee, but a non-practicing devotee, does not know who he is in illusion, and as you mentioned very nicely, and I won't repeat that, he is headed downhill towards the hellish world. So one knows, the other doesn't know. And in that knowledge that what we practice, it comes from a disciplic succession originating with God. One has the confidence of his convictions in what he is doing, as opposed to the other one lives in anxiety, uncertainty, doubt, confusion, and complete misery. That's all.
I think we'll end it there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna.